This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org.
So this is Equip with Chris Brooks, and of course, this is not Chris's voice. My name's Ed Stetzer. I serve at the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. I'm a professor and dean at Wheaton College, and I'm filling in for Chris. He's taking a few days off. We're, of course, facing today with somber news, horrific news. We've had another mass shooting at a school, and these things, and this follows on a mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, in a neighborhood I've walked, and I pastored and planted a church not far from there. These things have a frequency that should be disturbing to us as Americans. And in the midst of all this, we recognize that we don't have all the answers. We don't know quite how to respond. I don't know how to respond. I look to the Word of God for grace and comfort, and maybe you do as well. I see things like right now, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Or things, beautiful words like Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And we know this shouldn't be this way. The world shouldn't be this way. And the brokenness all around us. I retweeted yesterday just some words from Maggie Astor. She's a reporter. She said, after Sandy Hook, I read about how a group of parents waiting in a firehouse had dwindled until finally they were told that if they were still there, their children were dead. The reporters wrote that the screaming could be heard from the street. I will never forget that, she wrote. And those are hard things. Those are hard words for us to hear. And for some, it's a fair distance away. But for reality, we're all seeing this right now played out in front of us in this shooting that has taken place in Uvalde, Texas. We've seen comments from people have shared strong words about this. The president said, why are we willing to live with this carnage? Why do we keep letting this happen? We've seen pastors and church leaders from the community rally around this moment, and we can't oversimplify that. These things have multifaceted realities, and so I know for some you're hearing right now, and this has been a very jarring reality for all of us. But this may be a place and a time when you reach out to somebody that you love. I think we're all holding our kids a little closer, but there's also maybe a time when you need to talk to a pastor or a mental health professional to walk through some of these things. I think it's a reminder for us for a renewed focus on kindness and love towards one another. We should all lead this out as followers of Jesus. I think it reminds us that we can look at how might we respond individually and personally. And as you know, Chris Brooks is actually, he's off today, and I've been filling in for him. I occasionally fill in for Chris. But you may not be aware that Chris has actually been involved in ministering in situations like this before. One of the things that that happened years ago, it's heartbreaking that now we go from school shooting to school shooting. But a few years ago, one that probably didn't catch the news as much as maybe some of the others did, there was a school shooting at Oxford High School. And Chris was there ministering to the families, showing and sharing the love of Jesus in the midst of that brokenness. Those of us who know and love Chris know that he's walked through his own pain and loss as well. So we've actually asked him to step back into the conversation with us and join us for this first segment of the show, share a little bit about his own journey, how he, in that time of ministry, how he was there and what it was like to walk through some of that as well. So, Chris, I know you're off. Thanks so much for coming back on your program and joining with us. Tell us a little bit about how you walk through that time and maybe give us some words of comfort and exhortation today.
Yeah. First off, thank you for your thoughtfulness in sitting in today and your great voice of reassurance of the faithfulness of God. You know, it's in moments like this where we're reminded of how fragile life is. It's in moments like this where our hearts yearn for something beyond this world. And I think all of that sets the stage for us to not only draw closer to the Lord in our own lives, but to help others to be able to do that. as I think back on the Oxford school shooting and being in the midst of all that unfolded there, it's just acutely in my memory how much the leaders of the school administrators, faculty, staff, and family, they needed ministry and they were welcoming and open to it. And this morning when I woke up, Ed, one of the first calls that I made was to our local mayor to let him know that we were here for him. I bring that up to say the temptation of moments like this is to quickly jump into national debates, national debates about public policy. You know, it's been 23 years since Columbine happened. We've gone through five presidents, many congressmen and women, senators. The reality is that we have placed, I think, too much weight on what can happen on a federal or national level. When movement really happens, it typically tends to happen locally. You'll remember the economic philosopher Alexis de Tocqueville, who in surveying the United States really commended us for our local institutions, our local governments. And so I just today want to encourage folks to who really want to move into action from just empathy and sadness to action to consider engaging locally. Today, there is a school principal that needs to hear from you. Picking up the phone, just saying, I'm praying for you. Today will be a great day for you to say, hey, I'll volunteer just to maybe be a traffic patroller and helping kids back and forth across the street. Today, there's so much we can do if we think locally. So I think we need to think locally. And I also, and I know you agree with this, we need to think evangelistically. Today is a great day for you to go to the store, local store, get some cards, some thank you cards. And me and my wife have done this. We just wrote out, we have five neighbors in our little cul-de-sac, and we wrote notes to each one that says, I'm so grateful that you're my neighbor, and I want you to know that I'm here for you if there's any way I can help. Now, we chose to enclose a $25 gift card just because we know the economy's tough, and just put it in their mailbox with our phone number on there. These are local things we can do that can open up great gospel doors.
Yeah, I think the moment we're in, a lot of people are asking real hard questions. We're talking about the program, hard questions of evil. How do we engage these conversations? And it's also important for us to remember the people who are so hurt from this. You know, when we look back at the Oxford High School shooting, that was November 30th in 2021. If you listen to this program, you may be familiar with it, but maybe others are not. But we lost that day Tate and Madison and Hannah, within hours of the shooting, Justin. These are names of real people, and others were wounded in the gunfire. And when we look to the shooting in Texas, we see names like, not all the names have been released, but Xavier and Uzziah and Jose and Rogelio and Annabelle and Jackie and Eliana and Mary. These are names of children that are no longer with us, parents who are grieving and more. You've walked through the grief, the loss of a child. You've walked through the pain of these realities. How can we pray? How can we minister in the midst of these difficult times?
Yeah, these are difficult times. And, you know, when you go to the Oxford shooting, several of those families attended our church. And so we saw firsthand just the heartbreak of waking up the day after an event like yesterday and realizing it wasn't just a bad dream. It wasn't just a nightmare. But for the rest of your life here on earth, that person you love is not going to be with you at holidays or other events. I think we all need to pray for the comfort that only God can provide. There is no medicine this side of heaven that can heal a broken heart. But I would say we need to pray for comfort. But I also want to say this, that there is such a huge need, Ed, for trained mental health professionals. And there may be some that are listening to us today that have been sensing God leading them that direction. I would encourage you to enroll in the school, get trained, get equipped, because the need for sojourners and individuals who can walk families through hardship and tragedy is so important. And as a parent, having to have these tough conversations with our children, we need to remind them that the world is just as the Bible says it is, that it's broken and it's fallen in need of redemption, but that salvation has come and it's come through Christ, and that there's a hope that we have as we look to the future and his return, where there will be no more brokenness, no more school shootings, no more heartache. And so our faith and our trust is in him and looking forward to that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And hard times, you know, draw us to the one who gives comfort. Think of 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Maybe this is an exhortation that we need to hear today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so we'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And there are, and I, again, I, we want to mention, I should also mention to the brave teacher and others, their families are needing to be comforted. But one of the things we found is, and I think you're right on, is people are grieving all over, in the midst of a very difficult time. This just puts layer upon layer. And maybe that's you, listener, and you're like unsure how to respond in this. I just want to say to you that you don't have to walk through that alone. This is, if you're not engaged and involved in a local church that is caring and walking with you through those hard times, I don't encourage you to be, and just know that times like these, we need one another even more. Yes. And I think this is so key for us to remember. You know, you mentioned counseling, of course, at Moody Bible Institute. We have a, you know, robust ministry. We have a Christian counseling program. Wheaton College does. My daughter's headed off to Biola to study psychology this fall, and I held her a little closer yesterday. But she's entering into those fields to minister to others. As you kind of reflect back on your time there with the Oxford High School shooting, your engagement and involvement, sometimes we see these things and then they go out of the news. I mean, this, unfortunately, we're not talking about the Buffalo shooting at the top supermarket. And I guess for me, I mean, I walk that neighborhood. I had people go to our church from that neighborhood. And this will be bumped off the news again, maybe by another horrible shooting in this broken world in which we live. And how might you encourage people to walk through the processing of this individually and personally? Because right now it's heavy, but we also don't want to walk away from the reality of this brokenness. Tell us.
Yeah, for those families, unfortunately, and me and my wife have lived through this, as you've alluded to, this first year is a year of firsts that are going to resurface pain, heartache, the first holidays you have to celebrate without your loved ones there, the first graduation. Oxford, we work really closely with the school there. They just went through a graduation. That class of students that experienced this just went through graduation. And so everything is fresh for them. And this is where we need to pray for the local churches and the local communities, because they're the ones that after the news cycle ends will have to continue caring for families and walking with them through this. And so as we pray, let's pray for local pastors and leaders. Let's try our best, if we are privileged by God to be in relationship with someone who's experienced the loss of a loved one. And maybe it's not through a tragedy like a school shooting. Maybe someone has lost a son or a daughter through violence or some other act. Let's make sure that we do all that we can to avail ourselves to them, not just in the week or two in the immediate aftermath, but be sojourners, walking with them and checking in on them, because they're going to need it. They're going to need it for quite some time.
Let me say to you, Chris, as you're walking through this, words like Matthew 5:4, I know, are very real. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Would you take just a moment and pray for our nation, for these families? And I know praying from your own place of pain, we want to join you in that prayer. Pray for us, Chris.
Father, we thank you that you are faithful, that you promise you would never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that even in a moment like this, we are reminded that you are sovereign, that you will take the brokenness of this world and you promise that you will make all things new. For the families of Uvalde, Lord, we pray that they would sense your presence near. We pray that you would give wisdom to local leaders, that you would strengthen the voice of the gospel, and that those who serve you would be faithful in communicating your love and your grace through word and through deed. We pray that many will turn to you. We pray that the God of all comfort would allow your power and presence to be felt. And Lord, most of all, we pray for our nation that it will turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
From the Moody Radio family, thank you, brother. From the Moody Radio family, partners, and affiliates, we're praying for the people of Uvalde, Texas. We're praying for our nation. We're praying for you in the midst of these difficult times. And pray for the Brooks, as these are hard reminders in their own journey of pain and grief as well. We're going to continue our conversation with some of what Chris already pointed to. We're going to continue our conversation with your calls and ongoing conversation about how we might show and share the love of Jesus in the midst of this broken and hurting world. This is Equipped with Chris Brooks. I'm Ed Stetzer, sitting in for Chris. Stay with us as we continue our conversation in just a moment.
As a dad, a friend, and a neighbor, I share your concerns over the growing problems in our culture. That's why on Equipped, we tackle the tough issues, learning how to respond with grace and truth. We're looking for like-minded partners to stand with us. Would you be willing to become an Equipper today? In this role, you'll give a monthly donation to support the ministry of Equipped. And as an Equipper, you'll receive insider benefits, such as a bi-weekly email that contains pastoral messages prepared just for you. Become an Equipper today by calling 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org.
Hey, we're back. Ed Stetzer filling in for Chris Brooks here on Equipped, and a sober beginning of the show, but appropriately sober. These are sobering times, and in the midst of this, we recognize there's a lot of things that need to be discussed. There's need to be discussed how we address these moments as people are in pain and hurt. We need to address our society and its brokenness. That's going to involve mental health issues. It's going to involve laws. It's going to involve all kinds of things. But one of the things that we believe deeply as Christians, and Chris pointed to it already, is that ultimately we pray for a time when every tear is dried, when the world's no longer broken and lost, when cancer's not a thing, when school shootings aren't a thing, when all around us the brokenness is made new. You hear Chris say that a lot, renewing all things, making all things new. A part of that, and we want to continue our conversation. I talked to Chris earlier, and he encouraged us to continue our planned conversation around issues of showing and sharing the love of Jesus in our broken and hurting world right now. And that's what we want to talk about for the show, and ultimately point to the good news of the gospel that right now is already a comfort to many people around the world, in Texas and Uvalde and around the world, already something that people are calling out to the Lord in that. And our hope is that all people might find the comfort that comes from the good news of the gospel, by being transformed by its power and walking in its comfort. Those scriptures would be true for them. One of the things I've had the privilege to be engaged and involved with is a campaign to ultimately help and encourage people to have more conversations about, well, who Jesus is. Well, let me introduce the guest we're going to have. His name is Jason Vandergrund. He's the president of Haven, a creative hub that's a lead agency for what's called the He Gets Us campaign. Now, my guess is you've seen a commercial for the He Gets Us campaign. And as president, Jason provides overall strategic client and staff leadership for the firm, works alongside with Bill McKendry, who's the founder and chief creative officer. Jason's actually worked in different roles. I got an MBA from Western Michigan, different roles in different companies. And so what I want to do is, before I bring on Jason, I want you to listen to one of the spots that are actually playing really all over the place. They were all over. There's a big sporting thing called the Sweet 16, the March Madness. See, Rick's sitting here next to me. He's our guest in the next segment. I forgot about, I don't know much about sports, but it was big in the March Madness. It's been big in different places. Let's take a moment to just, Chris, if you would just roll that, let folks listen to this spot.
There was an influencer who became insanely popular. Everybody started following him. Then, one day, he stood up for something he believed in. People got angry. The establishment called him an extremist, said he shouldn't be allowed to share his views. They would stop at nothing to shut him up. So they did what they had to do. They nailed him to a cross.
So So, Jason, commercials, they're challenging, they're edgy. What's the hope that comes out of people hearing these? I mean, you didn't expect it was influencer, but certainly Jesus was an influencer and influenced people. They turned against him, then they nailed him to the cross. What's your hope for those kinds of spots as they're played all over the country?
Yeah, thanks, Ed. That's a great intro. I love hearing the music in that spot. And,
yeah, me too.
It just gets you going. And, you know, I think on a day like today, you know, we recognize things in this world aren't the way that they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be like this. And, you know, just your heart groans for it. So we're having conversations like that, you know, in our household with our kids. And, you know, when it comes to He Gets Us, you know, the problem statement that we started with there is, how did the world's greatest love story become known as a hate group? And that really troubled a lot of us. And, you know, Jesus said to us that the way that other people are going to know that you're following my teaching is the way that you love other people. And so, you know, one of the things that we're really trying to do, especially with a spot like Canceled, is we're just looking at all of the ways that Jesus' experience lines up with what we're experiencing as Americans today, and trying to show the population at large that there was a very real person who experienced every single thing that they're going through, the loss and the grief, and who loves them and understands them and empathizes with them and wants to connect with them. And so, you know, that spot like Canceled or other spots that we have, a dinner party or heartbreak, you know, really talk about how much Jesus understands what we're going through and wants to invite us to his dinner table.
Yeah, I love it. I wrote, and these times are times when people do have these kinds of conversations. Let me read a quote that I wrote. No, it's not my words, but I wrote it in a USA Today article that I'll text over to Deb so she can add to the show notes. But here's what I quoted. In the coming days, we will rely upon that which has been taught and that which we inherently believe, that there is faith for a reason, and that faith is God's gift to all of us. That was actually from Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy. That's from years ago. And the title of my article is, We Still Cry Out to God When Tragedy Strikes. And I pointed out and reminded people that we will become a conversation around faith will be evident before us in these coming days. And I think that you're helping to facilitate, and He Gets Us is helping to facilitate that conversation about faith, how we might be engaged and involved with this. Tell us a little bit about what's the research that kind of undergirded some of what you're doing here? And then after that, I want to play another one of the spots, but it wasn't just stuff you guys came up with. Tell us a little bit about the background to get there.
Yeah. So there's two goals to the campaign. And the first one is, it's about trying to increase the respect and the personal relevancy of Jesus for people who are really uncertain about faith, skeptical, but curious and open. And it's actually a large number of people in the U.S. It's almost a fourth of our population now. And the other is, we want to encourage Christians to reflect Jesus more authentically and how they love each other. That's something I'm trying to do in my life. And I try to teach my kids, just how can we reflect the way that Jesus taught us in the way that we live out and respond in all kinds of different situations. So we did a lot of talking with the American public last year through the form of research, really organized research. And one of the things that stood out to us, even among people who don't call themselves Christians, is how much their value system aligns with the value system that they most see in Jesus. And so there were four things in particular that people said, I want this for me and my family. And I also believe Jesus really represented this well. And this is coming from people who would not say that they're Jesus followers, but they see him as somebody who was able to seek peace, that in the midst of chaos, was able to make peace with himself, seemed to really understand his purpose, his goal, his mission, was able to make peace with others around him, even when he was in some toxic situations. And somebody who always remained approachable, compassionate, and who just loved everybody, who reached out to the marginalized, who stood up for the discriminated against. And people are saying, that's the value system that I want for myself and my family. And more than any other person in human history, they see those values represented in the teachings and the treatment of Jesus towards others.
Yeah. So let's listen to one other. There's one called Chris, I'm not sure what you're going to roll, but just roll the shorter one so we have time to talk about it.
Have you ever been bullied? Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been intimidated for your beliefs? So was Jesus. He gets us, all of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
So the theme here is that He gets us. He understands us. So what, if you're a Christian listening, you know, most of our listeners here at Moody Radio Partners and Affiliates are followers of Jesus, how might this be a part of their conversations, having spiritual conversations with people in these tumultuous and turbulent times? We got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. I think talking with people about faith is really hard today. A lot of times, if you don't think the other person is on the same page with you from a faith standpoint, either you kind of avoid or you maybe downplay your faith. What we're trying to do is give people a great way to start a conversation. Say, I saw this ad. It was about Jesus, a commercial about Jesus, and go, hey, let's have a conversation about that and explore faith together.
Thanks for joining us. We're going to continue our conversation with Rick Richardson, who's actually a PhD scholar in and around evangelism. We're going to continue our conversation with Jason's helped us launch today with He Gets Us. You can go to HeGetsUs.com to find more information. We'll be back in just a moment. Back, continuing our conversation today. I'm Ed Stetzer, filling in for Chris Brooks on Equipped, here on Equipped, and so thankful for our team, Chris Papendick and Deb Solomon, who make all this magic happen back at the home office. We were talking just a minute ago with Jason from Haven. They're working on the He Gets Us campaign. I want to encourage you to go to HeGetsUs.com. I'm also involved in that, just so you know. And it is the largest faith-based media campaign, I think, in history, and it is hopeful, and we're hopeful and hoping that it'll be helpful that people across this country will be talking about Jesus, and this what an important time for us to be having those conversations. The spots are mainly geared towards people who don't know Christ, and hopefully to have a conversation with people like you who do know Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, to share the good news of the gospel. Let's take a listen to one more. I want to encourage you again to go to HeGetsUs.com, but let's take a listen to one more of those spots. Chris, go ahead and roll.
A young mother had a son. A kind-hearted boy who always tried to do what's right. As he grew older, he worried about others more than himself. Whenever he saw anyone suffering, he tried to heal and comfort them. But more people became sick. Disease ravaged the land. People were quarantined, isolated. Many didn't survive. It became too much. And he had to isolate himself. He cried as he thought about all the unbearable things the people were going through. The mental anguish racked him with sorrow, but it was his cross to bear.
And of course, we do live in a sin-sick world. We live in a place where we are filled with joy that Jesus died on the cross for our sin and in our place. And He gets us as part of that. But we're going to have a broader conversation as well. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He's my colleague here at Wheaton College. His name is Rick Richardson. Rick is a professor of evangelism and leadership at Wheaton College, directs the Church Evangelism and Research Institutes for the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. He actually founded the Church Evangelism Institute, works with hundreds of senior pastors and their leaders in revitalizing churches through evangelistic conversion growth. He worked in campus ministry for 25 years, speaks and ministers as evangelists on campuses, different parts of the country. His books include Reimagining Evangelism, Evangelism Outside the Box, and his most recent title, You Found Me, New Research on How Unchurched Nuns, Millennials, and Irreligious Are Surprisingly Open to the Christian Faith. Rick, we're, of course, talking about a day when people are very aware of the brokenness of the world around us. And I want us maybe to start there, because in the midst of that brokenness, we feel the grief of the moment. And rightfully so, we mourn with those who mourn. And simultaneously, those of us who are comforted with the comfort that Christ gives want the world to know about that. How do we graciously, cautiously, lovingly walk through times like this and point people to Jesus? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Ed, great to be here. Talk about heartbreak and brokenness that we're experiencing in the world today. The shooting in Uvalde, Texas, the recent shooting in Buffalo, New York, it breaks your heart. And we all think about, what if that visited my home? What mm-hmm. if that was my neighbor? What if that was my son or my daughter? And boy, we have deep questions. And often one of the biggest is, why? Why did this happen to me? One of the really powerful things about those times is we're not really looking for an intellectual or rational answer at that moment. We're looking for comfort, and we're looking for some sense that the lives that we're living, the lives our loved ones lived or are living, mean something and matter and count. And I think when it comes to our faith, we feel like, is God abandoned me? Mm. You know, Jesus prayed that prayer from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I think whenever we suffer, a part of our heart asks that question. And that kind of leads to what the most important thing we can do is. People feel abandoned by God. They need to feel the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And we can be that for people. We can, as we follow Jesus, as we are filled with God's presence, we can be there with them and for them.
Yeah, we see this so often in Scripture, and this reminder that God's presence is a peace and God's people bring his presence into those situations as well. And boy, the last few years, I mean, we're talking about the last few days now, but the last few years have just been a lot. And I've read the end of the book. I know Jesus wins. And yet in the midst of all that, I think for a lot of people, they're building reservoirs of resilience for their own lives, how to walk through those lives. And yet at the same time, a world around us needs to hear the good news of the gospel. And I think a lot of that's fallen on hard times. That's part of the He Gets Us campaign, help people be talking about Jesus again. What do you see? You've done a lot of research. You've done a lot of work in and around this area. How do people view sharing the gospel, and is there a path we can encourage them to do so more faithfully and fruitfully?
You know, one of the interesting things, you know, I've been studying Gen Z, which right. are people born between 1997 and about 2021, and so they're 26 years old down to about 6 years old, and one of the fascinating things, Ed, about that generation is they don't want us to paint a rosy picture of the world. They actually want us to address the suffering and the pain in the world, and they long for that. And I think my generation grew up, we wanted to be optimistic. We mm-hmm. wanted to be, we're going to change the world. We're going to build a church that's going to go all over the world. Sure. And there was that kind of cause-oriented optimism. This generation actually doesn't like when we sound too glib. Mm-hmm. And so they want us to share our faith out of our pain.
Mm. And that's a hard place to be, but that's a real place to be. I, as a pastor, when I preach and I preach through my own struggle, I think people respond so much more clearly. They get that I, too, am a struggler. So sharing the gospel in the midst of time when we don't have all the answers seems harder, but sometimes maybe for the people receiving it, it's just clearer. So how would you encourage people in times like this to start spiritual conversations, to share the good news of the gospel?
One of the most effective and important and meaningful ways to have faith conversations these days is to have conversations where we connect on some area where we have pain, where we have struggle, where we've suffered. You know, for me, one of my sons has really struggled, and that's an area of pain for me. And I was with, my hair cutter just the other day, and it turns out her sister and her mother have brought a lot of suffering into her life. Mm. And we ended up in a gospel conversation because first we ended up in a mutual pain kind of conversation. I think that's the biggest bridge today for the gospel.
But the pain itself
yes.
is a bridge. And because when we think of that today, we think part of what we have to tell everybody is that our lives are just perfect. I mean, that's
right.
You're going to have new and abundant life. You're going to have debt. You're not going to have sickness. You're going to have happiness and whistling down the road. But the reality is those of us who live Christian lives know that we too struggle. So that point of struggle can become a point of connection to share the gospel. Unpack that a little more.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've been interviewing a lot of young adults, mm-hmm. again, now Gen Z, but, you know, 18 to 26 or 27-year-olds, and they're disconnecting from the church at an alarming rate.
Right.
You know that,
yep,
Ed.
Yep, yep.
And they're not finding in the church a compelling proclamation of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And so in their disconnecting, we're asking them why. And one of the things they're saying is, you know, when I listen to leaders or I listen to pastors, and often pastors of my generation or of your generation, they'll talk about their going from victory to victory. They'll be very vague about their suffering. They'll say, oh, yeah, I'm a sinner like anybody else. I've struggled. I've had pain in my life. But they don't ever really go into it. Mm-hmm. And instead, they talk about, but Sunday's coming. The resurrection sure. is here. And that is good news. But that's not the kind of conversation mm-hmm. that people today are looking for. They're looking for a real conversation about the real, actual, concrete pain in our lives and then how God meets us in that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. The Rick's book, his new book, is called You Found Me. Long subtitle, Rick. New research on how the unchurched nuns, millennials, and irreligious are surprisingly open to the Christian faith. We're actually going to give some of those away to callers, not just callers who say I want a book, but callers who have great, insightful questions or comments, and we want to invite you to join into our conversation. Maybe you want to talk about how to share Jesus in difficult times, or maybe how we might walk through this. Our number here is 877-548-3675. Again, that's 877-548-3675. And we're talking with Rick Richardson kind of about how are we going to look at this moment and some of the difficulty and some of the tragedy. How do we live faithful lives? How do we walk with our own grief in the midst of that? And then how do we show and share the love of Jesus as well? I want to invite you as well to join us for a phone call. It's 877-548-3675. Again, 877-548-3675. We've had a very full program. Of course, hearing from Chris at the beginning of the program, if you're just joining us later, you'll want to listen as always. If you go to Quip Radio, our website, to click back and listen to Chris's information at the beginning, I think you find it helpful and encouraging. And we're going to continue our conversation, of course, with Rick Richardson and your calls in just a moment. Maybe you're like, how do I start a hard conversation in the time when people don't know the Lord, but they see the world just such the mess that it is? How do we talk to people about our faith when we don't know how to reach them and more? Again, your calls are welcome. 877-548-3675. We're talking to Rick Richardson, and we'll continue our conversation with him about his book, You Found Me, and with your calls in just a moment.
It's no secret that motherhood involves a lot of self-sacrifice, but there are so many blessings, too. In her book, Expect Something Beautiful, Laura Boos helps you to see that behind all the giving that mothers do, there's a profound growth in God that is cultivated through the ups and downs of motherhood. Expect Something Beautiful is our gift to you when you support Equip with a gift of any amount. Simply call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org.
So we're back. This is Equip with Chris Brooks. I'm Ed Stetzer filling in for Chris and having a conversation about, well, really just sharing the love of Christ in the midst of what is a really turbulent and difficult time. And we're taking your calls as well. 877-548-3675 is our number, 877-548-3675. Rick, we've been talking about people and their openness, and I do think people tend to be open or at least searching in times of national tragedy. What do you see in general? Again, the book You Found Me is just filled with research that I think is super helpful. Did I write the foreword to that book?
You Good. Did.
Okay, so I like that book enough I wrote the foreword to it. I know I'm excited about it. So what do you see in and around people's openness today? You actually say people are surprisingly open in the subtitle. Talk about that.
Yeah, so one of the biggest trends in society today religiously is, as you know, the growth of the nuns. Nuns are people who on a survey say, what's your religious preference? And they say none, mm-hmm. N-O-N-E.
None of the above.
And right now, across society, the nuns are the fastest growing religious grouping, as defined by sociologists, religious grouping in America. And Gen Z, the youngest, young adults, are the fastest growing segment of that population. So that sounds like bad news. That sounds like people are less open to faith. I think the latest figures say that Gen Z is actually 45% say they're nuns. And that compares to 38% who say they're Christians. So here's the good news hidden in that bad news. The good news is that most of those are what we call nothing in particular. Only 7% are atheists, only 6% are agnostics. So a small percentage don't believe in God. A third of the generation believes in God. When they say they're nothing in particular, most of those believe in God. Most of those pray, and 20% of them pray daily.
Oh, wow.
And about 5% of them actually attend church every week.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
So it's kind of, it is interesting because, you know, I'm sure our listeners are all good churchgoers, but I think some of the nuns are outdoing some of us listening in their frequency of church attendance. Mm. That all those things indicate a kind of openness to faith mm-hmm. and to spiritual things. That what's happening, Ed, today is people are reacting against institutions, organized religion, institutional religion, and also actually against all the institutions in our society. And that's not good news, but the good news behind it is they're very open to their friends
mm-hmm.
who come in and share their faith. This is a... It's a kind of challenge and encouragement for all of us who are listening to say, hey, they may be against the institutional versions of religion, but they love their friends and they want to have spiritual conversations with their friends. 75% of unchurched people tell us they want to have spiritual conversations.
73 out of 4.
Yep.
Unchurched people, not just regular everybody, but unchurched people, 3 out of 4 say they want to have spiritual conversations.
Absolutely. And they don't want to feel judged and they don't want to be pressured to be what they're not. But if we're open with them, if we accept them, then they want to hear about our faith.
Fascinating, fascinating. Let's go to Deborah in Palm Desert, California. Deborah, you're live on the air with your question. Go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm a product of the Jesus Movement era in Southern California. So that's telling my age right there. But now, as I am older, it's reaching out to that Gen Z generation, and it's reaching out. It's different than the evangelistic movement of where I came from, but reaching out to them with a sincerity, a love, non-judgmentalness, if that's a word, transparency, and just being there for them. While they may be closed and being distant, when needs come, that they come to you as a counselor of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all.
I love it. I love it. No, that's great. I want you to hang on, Deborah. I want you to hang on because I want to give you a copy of the book. And let me just say, that was a great call and a great comment. I also want to encourage you to go to JesusPeopleMovement.com. We'll put that in the show notes as well, because we did a big research project and kind of talked about why those people, if you were JesusPeopleMovement.com, you might have been a teenager in those days, why that time? And it was in the midst of a tumultuous and turbulent time, which is not unlike what we find today. So super helpful call. But Deborah, but Rick, reflect on that a little bit, because she talked about some of the I don't know what the right term would be, authenticity, engaging, being there, and more. There's key built out of relationship that really matters.
Yeah, your comment was wonderful, and you're absolutely on target. People aren't so much looking for the cause that we're committed to, and they're not looking for how put together we are and how amazing we are because Jesus is in our lives. They're actually looking for real ways that we struggle and try to make ends meet and try to get by emotionally. And in the midst of that, we meet God, our spiritual side, our life with Christ, our forgiveness, and Christ as our leader makes a difference in the midst of our pain and our messy life. And that's the authenticity, that's the transparency, that's the way people today want to hear the gospel. But when we come in that way, they are so receptive and open.
Mm, so good. Bill in South Florida, you're live on the air. Bill, what is your question or your comment? Go ahead.
Well, guys, I tell you, I had a good friend of mine brought me to the Lord, and we started on this journey, and I really thought that everything was going to be looking through rose-colored glasses, you know. Now that I got the Lord in my life, everything's going to be great, which it is great. Don't take me wrong. But then my friend passed away, mm-hmm. and I've been dealing with that and some other issues that's come along the line. So it's really, you know, you struggle. Every day Yep. You struggle with, you know, am I doing the right thing? Is the Lord, is he really with me? And you really, you know, it was totally different than what I thought it was going to be. Even though it's great, don't get me wrong.
No, I get it. I get it, man. It's honest talk. That's honest talk. That's what we're kind of, we walk through. And no, you're right on. And so, Rick, let's talk about it. Bill, if you'll hold on too, we're going to give you a copy of You Found Me, which is the book. But I mean, that authenticity, that honest, what Bill just said is just true. Christians all over listening right now saying, that's true for me. But should I tell people that or tell them it's all great? Where does authenticity and honesty fit into that evangelistic conversation?
Yeah, actually, part of what we're seeing is that for Gen Z, for young adults, they don't respond when we say to them this false bill of goods that if they come to Christ, things are, that they're going to have peace, joy, triumph, and victory. They actually suspect messages like that. And part of why they suspect it is because those messages don't really work, just like you talked about in your own life. We all come to Christ and we do experience joy. We do experience the wonder of God's presence, but we also experience pain. We experience loss. My mom just passed away just a year and a half ago, and that's still with me. I still think about that. I think about other parts of my life and my own family, my kids, where it hasn't worked out like I scripted it. And the reality is that, you know, first, that's just real. We need to be real about that in order to meet God ourselves, in order to get comfort ourselves. And so what you're doing on the radio is what we need to each do in our personal relationships. And the other thing is, this is the heart of our witness to Christ. It's not that we sail above life. It's that in the midst of the messiness of life, Jesus has met us.
Oh, such a good word. Thank you, Rick Richardson, for being our guest today on a challenging day. And again, I've already mentioned our team downtown in Chicago, Moody Radio. Amy Lee also on the phones. Thankful for you. And this has been a challenging time. Let me encourage you to hold your kids a little closer, to seek friendship and encouragement in your church. And if there's need for more help, let's talk to our pastors and take those steps to get that more help. Thanks for listening to Equip with Chris Brooks. You know, the cross is central to Christianity because, well, without the cross, there is no Christianity. It's impossible to overstate the importance of what Jesus did on the cross for our sin and in our place and its impact, well, it's had on time and eternity. This is Ed Stetzer. What does the cross mean to you? Join the conversation about the wonder of the work of Jesus with author and theologian Phil Ryken on the next edition of Equipped.
Listen live weekdays, 1 Eastern, noon Central on the Moody Radio app or equippedradio.org.